At the dawn of time, say the bards and poets of Iceland, there was neither sand nor icy waves. The earth did not exist, nor the sky. Only a yawning abyss stretched through space. The abyss is still with us, with some more than others. It's out there, at the end of 100 feet of stout rope, at the vanishing point.
My name's W.D. Volgertsen, Billy to my friends and relatives. I'm 45, teach creative writing at the University of Victoria. Some of you have read my books, Blood Flowers and God is Not a Fish Inspector. If what I'm going to tell you were a piece of fiction, I could foreshadow, dramatize, and then subtly reveal what has happened. Unfortunately, life isn't so tidy. I thought my life was all settled, and then the other day...
Special delivery for W.D. Valgardsen.
That's my dad.
Who was it?
Mailman. Special delivery from Iceland.
Dear Professor Valgardsen, my mother, Sigurd Johnson.
Dad, what's the matter?
I think I'd better sit down. Sigga's dead.
Who's Sigga?
I was 27 then. 1966. I rode my bike out to see Einar. There Sigga was, in a wide-brimmed hat, a white dress, and no shoes.
Góðan daginn.
Talar þú íslensku?
Nei, ég ekki tala íslensku.
That's all right. I speak English.
She just arrived from Iceland?
Yes. I'd never met anyone like her before. 20 years old. So beautiful it nearly broke my heart looking at her. I went out to the farm every day. One day in August, we were lying in the hayloft.
Sigga, if you want, we can get married before school starts.
No.
After?
No.
I've already rented Axel's cabin. The one beside the river.
Living there will be nice.
You'll live with me, but you won't marry me.
If we get married, you'll want a family.
Can you not have children?
Not sons.
Some of your Icelandic superstition.
Don't mock me.
Then marry me.
I can't.
Do you want to?
Yes.
Do you love me?
Yes.
Is there someone back in Iceland?
No. There I am known as the Ice Maiden. I had promised myself to care for no one. Then you appeared. With your one pant leg held in place with a bicycle clip.
This is madness.
If only it were not. She wheeled her wheelbarrow on the streets broad and narrow, singing cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive. Bill, what's the matter? You've been brooding ever since you came home from school.
The principal had a talk with me today. Some parents have complained about our living together.
Oh, the good Lutherans are concerned for our souls. How kind.
He thinks we should get married.
My mother asked me not to marry.
You agreed?
She was on her deathbed.
Did she tell you why?
No.
Did you ask?
Not her.
Others?
Yes.
And?
There are things.
Hearing them won't destroy me.
In Iceland, time isn't like in Canada. Here, there's no past. People don't know the names of their great-grandparents, where they came from.
It's a new country.
In Iceland, 1,000 years is like last year. They talk of people in the sagas as if they were neighbors living down the street.
I understand that.
Do you? Do you understand then how peculiar it is that no one knows how my father or my great-grandfather died?
Have you asked?
It wasn't allowed.
And that was that. Or should have been. I had Sigga. But not being able to marry her was like a sore tooth. I had to keep wiggling. I'd go for coffee and mention Sigga's father and great-grandfather.
Oh, yeah, Tordeson. Went through the ice. Never found his body.
No, no, that's not what I heard. Ran away. Off to the States.
No, no, never went to States.
Ole, I'm going
Tordeson.
To...
No.
Yes, it's true.
Drowned in the ice.
Gunnar Thordarson? Oh, don't know anything about him. And now his grandson, Vardy Anderson, him I know about. He taught school at Hecla and then in Winnipeg. Boarded with the Bell family. They're all dead.
I felt like I was collecting the bits and pieces of a shattered stained glass window. It was as if the window had been broken a long time ago and people had taken away fragments for souvenirs. Some had kept them. Some had lost them. Others mixed them up with pieces from other windows. Can you imagine trying to collect all the pieces and then reassemble them so you could see what the window was like originally? Still, from time to time I get a fragment that really mattered.
Gunnar Thordarson. Oh, yeah, I know about him. My grandfather was a young man then. He worked as a fish freighter. I remember him talking about Gunnar the Hermit. He freighted his fish for years.
Where was his fish camp?
Oh, in the north on Lake Winnipeg. Somewhere close to Pine Dock.
What was he like?
Oh, I never saw him. But my father said he'd gone Indian. Long blonde hair to his shoulders, full beard, buckskin jacket, moccasins. Oh, he was an intellectual. How you say, mystic? Play chess.
Chess?
All my father's records and correspondence are in the Icelandic library at the University of Manitoba. You look there.
I think I found something.
I feel cold all over as if I'm in a room full of ice.
Here's an affidavit.
I arrived at Gunnar Thordarson's fish camp at 2 o'clock on December 14, 1914. The cabin was empty. The fire was out. Frost was thick on the windows. I lit a fire to warm myself and slept there overnight. In the morning, I noticed on the table a note which said, "Today, I go to the farthest depth." There had been a storm raging for the last 3 days. I went outside and kicked at a mound of snow. Underneath, there was a dead husky. I found 7 altogether. All were still chained to their ground pegs. I searched everywhere, but found no sign of him. The cabin was as if he had just stepped outside the door for a moment and would be right back. Finally, I gathered up all his personal belongings, packed them in boxes, and took them to Winnipeg, where I gave them to his daughter, Runa.
His daughter, Runa? That makes her your grandmother.
My mother never mentioned her.
Runa was your great-grandfather. Runa, your grandmother. Valdi, your father. You make the fourth generation.
I can't escape this feeling of coldness.
All his personal belongings. Where are they now, I wonder? Everyone leaves traces. Your father was a teacher. He had to have a permit. Had to go to normal school. Maybe university.
This is becoming an obsession with you.
Siga, if I can prove that there is no reason for your mother's request, will you marry me?
Yes.
Shh.
Birth certificate, teacher certificate, marriage certificate. One piece of paper after another, until at last the street number in the west end of Winnipeg. Gooley Town, Little Iceland. Where there used to be a house, there was a dry cleaning establishment. But next to that, an old two-story home.
You know, I felt sorry for his wife.
She came from Iceland. Didn't speak much English.
Yes, she used to have us over for coffee, didn't she?
That's
yes,
right.
She knitted things. Gave me a pair of mittens for Christmas.
She was pregnant when he disappeared. I thought she'd lose the baby.
You know, I'd forgotten all about it. It was a crazy story. He went looking for his grandfather, who disappeared years and years before. Got lost in the same place. Yes, he disappeared. Never found either of them.
After a couple of months, she went back to Iceland. Left a bunch of things with us.
Things?
Well, she was supposed to send for them.
Did she?
No, we ended up giving them away.
Oh, not everything. I was up there the other day and saw one of the fish boxes.
Well, what were you doing up there?
Well, I just fish a box for a few minutes.
Siga, let me in.
What have you got there?
Oh, get me something to pry up this lid and we'll find out.
Papers, scribblers, drawings, whose are they?
Give me that scribbler. Damn, it's an Icelandic.
I'll read it. November 20, 1904. Ragnar Odlifsson came to the house today. He is called Crooked Eye because one eye is crossed. He is looking for a hired man. The Fjellsteds have warned me against him. He has a violent temper, tries to avoid paying his help, and feeds them badly. I would not go with him, but I must have money to pay for Runa's... Runa? Bill, these are my great-grandfather's papers.
Keep reading.
November 22. The weather is very bad. We have been traveling for 3 days, taking refuge in stopping places. They give us a hot meal, but once on the road, we eat bread and smoked fish, which we keep inside our jackets so it won't freeze. From before dawn until after dusk, we run beside the horse and sleigh.
After we left Mikley, there was nothing but snow. We saw no one, no homes, no animals. It was as if the world had died. Then the snow made me blind. Otleifson cursed me and tied a rope around my waist. He tied the rope to the sleigh, and for 2 days I ran behind, unable to see, not knowing where we were going. Sometimes I fell and was dragged. Once, when I could not get to my feet, Otlifson beat me with his whip. I will not forgive him for that.
Here's something. March 2, 1905.
Otlifson died today. A week ago, he put an ice chisel through his foot. Instead of cleaning the cut, he packed it with horseshit. His foot turned purple. I dragged his body outside. Since I cannot bury it, I have hauled the body onto the roof. There the animals cannot get at it. Each day, I will hack out some frozen earth until I have a grave. And then, I will bury him.
I don't want to read anymore. Put everything back and nail the box shut.
We can't. It's got answers to our questions.
Pandora's box.
No.
Yes, it's like I can see dark things swarming out of it. Things we should have left locked up.
Sigga, people who love each other aren't afraid to share things.
April 15, 1907.
I am going to look for a cave in the limestone cliffs along the lake. If I can find one that fills with ice during the winter, I will be able to keep food all year around.
April 22, 1907.
I have had a truly mystical experience. For days I searched for a cave but found nothing suitable. Then I became ill with a high fever. It was like I was half asleep and half awake for days, unable to tell reality and fantasy apart. Then the fever broke and I slept soundly. During this sleep, I saw the entrance to a cave. I could see the cliff in great detail, as though it were magnified. I watched myself scrutinize the cliff, checking and rechecking all the cracks, then stopped before a place where the rock was covered with moss. I stood and stared at the dark indentation. When I woke, I remembered the dream clearly, but I was still weak with fever and did not go out for another 3 days. Each night, the dream returned. When at last I was strong enough to go outside, I rowed my boat along the shore. In the dream, as I had reached out to pull away the moss, I had always awakened, but now there was no waking. I felt the moss thick and moist under my hand. I pulled it away, and there was a crack, just large enough for me to pass through if I stood sideways. I made a torch from birch bark and entered. With a gaff, I tested the ice-covered walls and floor.
September 20, 1911.
Today, I smashed through a curtain of ice at the rear of the cave. My axe revealed a narrow entrance to a still larger cave.
November 25, 1911.
During the past 2 months, I have discovered a series of caves, a labyrinth in honeycomb, which underlies a surface that looks, from outside, impervious, solid, real. Although it supports infinite trees, marshes, animals, its solidity is only an illusion. It has altered my whole concept of reality.
Did you find anything more for 1911?
No. There are only two more pieces. One is a letter to his daughter.
Dear Runa, each and every cave is different. Each is filled with wonders. In some, there are marvelous colors. In others, underground streams. The furthest cave, where I write this, by lamplight, has a pool in it with fish. The fish are small, like what the fishermen call mud puppies, and they have no eyes. Sometimes, when I realize how far I have traveled, how alone I am, I shake with fear, but I cannot stop. As much as I have learned the secrets of the earth, I have learned more about myself.
There is also this for December 14, 1914.
That date? I've seen it somewhere before.
It was the date on the note which the freighter found.
I dream constantly of the cave. It obsesses me. I no longer sleep, but dream, even as I am awake. Today, I will conquer my fear, and at sunrise will begin the ultimate journey. I will take 500 feet of string, 100 feet of stout rope, a lantern, 4 pitons, A hunt axe, enough food to last 3 days.
Changed his whole concept of reality? Isn't that what he said? Everything looks so solid, but the solidity is only illusion.
Do you think the caves actually existed?
Don't you?
He was alone, isolated. Perhaps he only imagined it.
What about your father's disappearance 2 generations later? We still know nothing about that. He taught school. He was blonde, tall, thin. He lived in Winnipeg. There is something else, isn't there? What are you holding back?
There were things of his in the box, too.
You've read them?
My father found my great-grandfather's diaries and letters.
So he knew.
Not at first. Now and again, late at night, he'd take them out, look them over, promising that when he got time, he'd learn to read Icelandic.
Your mother could read them.
She'd have nothing to do with them. Anyway, 5 years passed. That's what he says in the diary. 5 years passed, and he moved to Winnipeg to teach at Kelvin Collegiate. Twice a week, he took lessons with Reverend V.J. Aylens at the First Lutheran Church.
He'd never find it. Years had passed. The shoreline constantly changes.
His diary says, I want, above all, to learn about my family. His mother had kept all knowledge of Gunnar from him. They had a bitter fight. To make peace, she gave him Gunnar's belongings.
He searched?
He became obsessed.
Did he keep a daily log?
No. His notes are erratic, undated.
Today, I found Gunnar's camp. All that remains is a log cabin overgrown with raspberry canes and moose maple. I have searched for a month. I have found old tin cans, bottles, the ground pegs for the dogs. But no sign of a cave. Since nothing else has worked, I have cleared the brush from inside the walls of Gunnar's cabin. There I will sleep tonight, and like him, I will search my dreams for an answer. I dreamt of the cave last night. Today,
I dreamt of the cave.
I found it.
Last night. Today,
embedded in ice.
Embedded in
ice. There is a piton and a lamp.
There is a piton and a lamp. Since dusk.
Since dusk.
I have debated my next move.
I have debated my next move.
This deep subterranean maze.
To enter this deep subterranean maze.
Return to the outside world.
Or to turn away. Return to the outside world.
What else?
He disappeared.
He must have left some trace.
The police searched. His friends searched. My mother waited. Then went back to Iceland and took me with her.
But the promise to your mother. She must have had some reason.
Gunnar was a philosopher. A mystic. He wrote a thesis. He believed that history is cyclical. That the future can be predicted from the past. He studied Icelandic family histories and felt he had found proof that in some families, endless cycles repeat themselves.
That's absurd. It's just coincidence.
I can't take that chance.
That was 20 years ago. I came home one day in January and she was gone. A note on the table said, "Don't try to find me." A year later, I heard she was back in Iceland. I wrote. No reply. When I got enough money, I flew there. She had heard I was coming and had gone to Denmark. Eventually, I married someone else. That didn't work out. Now I'm living in Victoria, BC, separated, waiting for a divorce. My life, I thought, was settled. Then this came. It's a letter from a young man called Ragnar Williamson. He's 19 years old. He tells me Sigga is dead. Cancer. He claims to be my son. He says he's coming to meet me. He wants, above all, to learn about his family.
I have searched for a month. I have found gold tin cans, bottles, the ground beds for the dogs. But no sign of a cave. Since nothing...
I dreamt of the cave last night. Today...
I dreamt of the cave.
I found it.
Last night. Today...
Embedded in ice.
Embedded in ice.
There is a piton and a lamp.
There is a piton and a lamp. Since dusk...
Since dusk...
I have debated my next move.
I have debated to enter
this deep subterranean maze.
To enter this deep subterranean maze.
Return to the outside world.
Or to turn away.
I have had a truly mystical experience. For days I searched for a cave but found nothing suitable. Then I became ill with a high fever. It was like I was half asleep and half awake for days, unable to tell reality and fantasy apart. Then the fever broke and I slept soundly.
Listen.
During this sleep,
during this last
I visited the heart. I had a book, some books for his books are all by philosophers, and he lectured me on the nature of reality. He says the soul never sleeps, but inhabits bodies in two worlds. It passes back and forth between them. What we call madness is leakage from one existence to another. He told me with great excitement that he had been exploring a cave. I asked him to show it to me, but he fell silent and did not speak again.
I don't like this.
We found what we're looking for. We've got to keep looking.
Cancer. He claims to be my son. He says he is coming to meet me. He wants, above all, to learn about his family.
Ragnar Rokh, the twilight of the gods. But what of the children of the gods? What obscurity awaits them? Sigga said, I feel cold all over, as if I'm in a room full of ice. Perhaps it was the yawning abyss, the cave in the blood. The cave with the average mean temperature of the Vanishing Point.
The Cave by W.D. Valgardson. Valgardson as a young man was played by Paul Batten, and Valgardson as an adult by the author himself. Sigga was played by Alana Shields, Nan by Marcy Goldberg, Gunnar and the Mailman by Arne Haraldsson, Valdi and the Man by Tom Macbeth, The Freighter and the Second Man by Barney O'Sullivan. You also heard Gwyneth Harvey, Dorothy Davies, Lillian Carlson, Ted Stidder, and Muriel Cooper in a variety of roles. Music was composed by Bill Skolnick and performed by Tom Keenlyside and David Philip Owen. Technical producer was Gene Lovrock, with sound effects by Jay Hyreen. And the production assistant was Dagmar Kafanka. The series script editor is Sandra Rabinovich, and the voice of introduction is David Calderisi. The Cave was produced and directed at CBC Vancouver by John Giuliani. The executive producer of Vanishing Point is William Lane. Until next week, I'm Art Cuthbert, wishing you good night and a happy new year.